Morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Good to see you. And we welcome Alan Gillies, who's familiar to most, if not all of you, to lead our worship this morning. Just a couple of practical reminders. You'll probably fall asleep, fed up of hearing it. But at the moment, the guidance is that we should wear masks in church during singing and in between, basically all the time you're here, unless you're here. And you're allowed to take it off. Is that better? And the other reminder, please, if you can put your phones on mute, just a reminder on that. Doesn't usually happen to me very often, and I don't think preachers and the like recommend it, but I really didn't know what to pray about as we opened our worship this morning, and I just opened the Bible in the vestry, fell upon a psalm straight away, and I thought it was appropriate. So I will pray around the words of this psalm. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display their knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Let us pray. Father, in these dark days of January, when nature seems to continue its sleep and struggles to wake up, we thank you for your word that reminds us, Lord, that the skies proclaim the work of your hands. Everything, Lord, that you have created shouts of you. As we struggle sometimes to understand, help us once again as we meet as your church to learn more of you and to learn to trust you and be affirmed and assured in the faith of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Always a pleasure to be in the pulpit here. The appointed psalm for today is Psalm 36, five verses from Psalm 36. So we'll start our service with this psalm as our call to worship. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, and your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we too see light.
Let's stand and sing together. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our second song is Hear the Call of the Kingdom, Lift Your Eyes to the King. Is the Luke, is the second song working? Is the second song working okay? Cause, yeah, that's fine, good. Okay, we can sing this one together. Hear the Call of the Kingdom. Call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as the fragrance of a ring of how God, rich in mercy, came in Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light with the mercy. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Father, as we come to worship you this morning, we lift our eyes and our hearts to you in worship, thanks and praise. Creator God, you made us in your image and provide us with all we need. A world with plenty for all to share and delight in. You gave us family and friends and so many good gifts. For this we give you thanks and praise. Father, forgive us when we've strayed from the path of faith and run after other gods. When we've been less than loving and hurt those around us. When we've not held ourselves accountable to you and measured our worth by our own achievements. Saviour God, you came to forgive us when we do not follow your way of love, peace and forgiveness, and to show us the path we should follow through the highs and lows of all that life throws at us. You gave Jesus, who offered up his life for us in that ultimate sacrifice of love. For this we give you thanks and praise. Holy Spirit, you were sent to equip us with many gifts for the task ahead and to get us into shape for the journey ahead, challenging us, pruning us and encouraging us. For this, we give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
The reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. The passage is headed Concerning Spiritual Gifts. Now about the gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through a Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these gifts are of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Thanks be to God for his word.
It's a busy time of year in the church. The month of December is taken up with Advent, when we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. And generally, I have to say, I find Advent more satisfying than Christmas, because you've got that wonderful sense of hope. You've got the light shining in the darkness as the days get darker, and the anticipation, the coming of Jesus at Christmas. But if December's about anticipation, then January is surely about response. Last week we had our covenant service. Part of our response to the love of God at Christmas. Part of our response to the gift of Jesus Christ. And what he symbolizes in the eternal love and grace of God. So this morning I want to carry on with that theme of our response to the coming of Christ. But just before we do that, to start us off, I want to have one more go at Christmas, because I actually quite enjoyed Christmas this year. I don't always enjoy Christmas, I'll be honest, but I did enjoy Christmas this year. Because last year we couldn't have Christmas, really. My mum was stuck in Scotland on her own, and this year we did all the things we wanted to do last year, which was great. And Saw my daughters. My mum's not seen my daughters at Christmas for 20 years, and that was great. And we even managed to meet up with her brother on Christmas Eve, and that's not happened at Christmas for 50 years. So Christmas was pretty good. And I got a present. I wonder what you got for you. I got a present, and I'm still struggling with it, to be honest. Here's the present. It's a book, and it's from my sister, and it's called Scotland's Methodists, 1750 to the year 2000. Now, I happen to know it came from a second-hand bookshop in Alnwick. Anybody knows the northeast? Alnwick used to have a station. It doesn't have a station anymore, but it's now got a second-hand bookshop called Barter Books. Fabulous bookshop. I thoroughly recommend it. And they do great bacon rolls as well. Tis a little embarrassing, because I bought my sister a present too. She bought me the History of Scottish Methodism. I bought her the History of Scottish Witchcraft. But anyway, it's a bit embarrassing when we opened our presents, but we're still talking. But there is a point to this. I know I like to tell stories, but it does have a point, honestly. Which is that, you know, we're still going through these waves of the pandemic. We're still struggling with things. And, you know, one of the things I struggle with from time to time is I look at the church and I sort of think, where are we going? That, you know, there aren't as many of us as there used to be, and that's been accelerated by the pandemic. And it's easy to get discouraged. And I think we fall into the trap of believing there was a golden age when everything was wonderful. I have to tell you, the book on Scottish Methodism, it's a little bit tough. I've got as far as about the end of the 19th century so far, and I've been reading it for weeks. But the thing that it's taught me was that certainly in Scotland, there never really was this mythical golden age when everything was wonderful. In fact, the message that I'm taking from it so far is it's amazing they got started at all with all the challenges that they faced. And it's amazing that they ever grew as much as they did. And now we've sent them Mark Slaney, so there we go. But, you know, we do have this idea that there was this golden age when everything was easy. And what I've read so far tells me that, no, the history of the Scottish Methodist Church through the 19th century was a struggle. And it was people inspired by God going out and trying to do new things, trying to reach new people. And at the heart of it, there does seem to be this divine purpose, which is what drives on this human struggle. And it seems to me that as we emerge from this pandemic, perhaps more slowly than that we would like, but there are signs of hope. And maybe we're starting to look to the future and asking what the future might look like for us as a church. It seems to me that for years before we had the pandemic, we had this phrase, we talked about new ways of being church. And being Methodists, we were very good at setting up committees and working parties to discuss what it meant to be new ways of being church. But then suddenly we had to do it, didn't we? We had to find new ways of reaching out to people, of getting the word to people, of showing people that we were still here, of showing people that God still cared for them. And the truth is, we can't go back. As we face new challenges, as the world faces new challenges, we can't keep talking about new ways of being church. We have to find and do new ways of being church. I believe that God will always carry on building his kingdom. As you read the story of God and his people through the Bible, they have their ups, they have their downs. And things don't always go as people want. And things don't always go right. But God's always there, and he does whatever it takes. He sent the prophets. He sent his son. He sent us the people who followed on. Disciples, the first disciples, but all disciples since. He inspired John Wesley to create our Methodist Church. He inspired all those people who went to Scotland that I've been reading about. And he's not stopping now. God will continue to build his kingdom. And that kingdom will carry on and it will continue to confront the challenges that the world throws at it. But we need to be mindful too of what Jesus says about being the vine. Because the vine will carry on growing. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and that vine will carry on growing. But he also tells us that some of the branches may get pruned. And it may grow in a way that we're not always expecting and we're not always anticipating. Our calling as a church is to build the kingdom. And sometimes that will require us to find new ways of doing that. And sometimes that will seem easy, and sometimes that will feel hard. Talked about this last week in the covenant service. And what I take away from that is that each one of us has our calling, our part to play in building that kingdom. In a couple of weeks' time, on the Sunday afternoon, we'll be holding the recognition service for Nikki as a local preacher going on full plan. And when we talk about preachers, we talk about our call to preach. But it's not just preachers who have a calling. It's not just the ministers. It's not just the worship leaders. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has a part to play if we together are going to carry on building that kingdom. Last week, as part of our covenant service, we heard these words. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and temporal interests, and others are contrary to both. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. And that's important too. You say, every year I come to the covenant service, and every year, quite frankly, it scares me witless. Because if you take seriously what we say, it's really quite worrying. But there's another side to it. A covenant is two-way. Yes, if we are to carry on building the kingdom, then everybody needs to find their calling, whatever it is. And everybody needs to follow their calling. And together, we need to go forward and value each other's contribution. But in the words we heard in this week's reading is the other side. Covenant is two-way. It's a covenant between God and his people. Two-way relationship. And what God promises in the reading today is not only does he have many services to be done, he gives us the gifts that we need to do them. Gifts may be talents, but there may also be faith and courage and just determination. When I was at the university, I used to supervise PhD students, and everyone used to say to me, gosh, you must have to be very clever to do a PhD. And I said, well, you have to be reasonably intelligent, but mostly you have to be determined. You have to really want it. So the gifts that we get from God are not just the talents, not just the abilities. It's the faith, it's the courage, it's the perseverance to carry on when things get tough. And that's what God gives to us through the Spirit. So just as we talk about a covenant between God and his people, So we talk about the things that we're called to do, but we also talk about the gifts and the talents that God gives us to do that. And it's not just as individuals, but it's as a church together. The second half of the Corinthians chapter that we read, which we didn't get to, is the one where Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ. And that's the final part of this jigsaw. It's the fact that together, if we follow our callings, together, if we bring the different parts of the body together, we can achieve something which is much greater than our individual efforts. So yes, there are many things that we need to do. And yes, some of them will be tough. And some of them we may not even want to do. But that's not the whole story. For each of those services that we need to do, God gives us what we need to do that. The talents, the perseverance, the faith, the courage. And then he brings us all together as the body of Christ. And he allows us and he helps us to support each other. So together we can achieve with him many things and things that perhaps we thought we never would achieve. So yes, the covenant can be daunting. But remember the other side, that we're not doing this alone, we're doing this with God, we're doing it together. And we can support each other, and more than that, he will support us to do all the things that we need to do. So as we go forward from Christmas, as we seek to respond to the gift of Christ at Christmas, as we emerge blinking into what I do hope will be a brighter year, then my question this morning is, what are you called to do in 2022 to take God's love to his people and build his kingdom? And there may be people here this morning who say to me, Alan, I don't know. And that's okay. So let me give you another question which might help you answer the first one. What gifts and talents has God given to you that you can use to show his love and build his kingdom? And if you work that out, maybe that will lead you to the answer to the first question. I pray that in this year, we together can build more of God's kingdom and show more of his love. Amen. We're going to sing again, and it's "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died, My Richest Gain I Count But Loss and Pour Contempt on All My Pride." Were the whole realm of nature mine? That were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. And now we come to God with our intercessionary prayers when we remember all the things that we want to bring to God, our concerns for people near and far. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you with the concerns that weigh upon our hearts. We awoke this morning to news of a tsunami on the other side of the world. And we think about the people in the various islands of the Pacific as they deal with the consequences. We pray for those countries still grappling with the pandemic in circumstances even more difficult than the ones that we have here. We give thanks for the news this week of work done to produce a new type of vaccine which is easier to distribute and not subject to patents, to make it available to those parts of the world which have been struggling to get access to the vaccine. We think about those countries of the world living under the threat of political instability. We think about the situation in Ukraine and the conversations between the leaders of the major powers as they try to find a way forward to resolve their differences and avoid a conflict situation. Lord, this is your world, and you have shown time and again that you care for each person in it. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to support those who work for the greater good, those who work to build your kingdom wherever they are, and those who work to bring your love and grace and relief of suffering to all who suffer at this time. And Lord, as we bring our focus closer to home and we think about our own country, we pray, Lord, that to deal with all the challenges that we face, that true leadership may emerge, a leadership based on service, a leadership based on the greater good, a leadership committed to trying to solve the problems that we face. We think about people still struggling with the pandemic. And we think about the people struggling to look after those people with the pandemic as more of their colleagues are unavailable for work. We think of all the people keeping our country running in spite of COVID, our teachers, our delivery drivers, our supermarket workers. We see, Lord, truly the truth of what you say when you tell us that Christ has many services to provide. We give thanks for all the people working to make life easier for the rest of us. And Lord, we pray for our community here, our people, our churches, the people amongst whom we live. We thank you, Lord, that we have found new ways of connecting with our community during the pandemic, and we pray that we find ways to continue to reach out, to show your love, and to show your grace, to make it real in people's lives. And we pray for all those people known to us who are suffering at this time for whatever reason. Physical and mental health problems, anxiety about the future. We pray, Lord, that they may know that you are there for them. And we pray too, Lord, that you would help us how we can serve, when to listen and when to do, when to talk and when to be silent. But above all, help us to show your love and share your grace with all those in need wherever we meet them. And we want to remember too, Lord, those who've lost loved ones recently, or those for whom this is an anniversary of bereavement, and they're thinking again of the loss that they have experienced. We pray, Lord, that they too may know that you are there for them. There's nothing that can separate them from you. And we pray that we may be there for them too. All of these things, Lord, that we want to do, we know we can only do in your strength and with your gifts and with the guidance of your Spirit. Help us to see how we can respond to the gift of your Son at Christmas in an ongoing way throughout this year. Give us whatever we need to do your will and to build your kingdom. We ask all these prayers and the prayers that are left unspoken in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may recognize the last hymn. We've sung it before. It's one what I wrote, as they say. But for those of you that may not remember the words, they will hopefully be on the screen. And the tune, I hope, will be familiar. We, the church, must build the kingdom, soul by soul, in every place. Of our village, where the bruised and lonely dwell, let us show the Saviour's kindness. Let us of his kingdom tell. Let us listen to our calling. Let's go into every place to preach, to baptize, to fulfill his mission, but above all, to serve with love and to share his grace. And let's start by sharing that grace with each other now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.